Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, one of the things that we get into this time of year, there are so many things that are exciting. Not only are we celebrating Advent today, and yes, I know it's not actually the first Sunday in Advent, but as I told you, I'm doing this for a reason. But there are so many things that as we lead up into Christmas that we're setting up. Can you believe that yesterday was the 25th of November? That means that we're 1 month away from Christmas. Are you ready for it? Who said yep? Oh, I bet you got all the decorations up too already, don't you? Nope. That's today. Okay. Oh, really? Who's playing? You got it. It's not about the decorations, it's about football. Okay. Well, before I get started in things, a couple of things I want to point out. Would you pull out your bulletin on page 3? I want you to look at the Old Testament lesson. Nope. Sorry, page 2. I turned it over. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Anybody know what Emmanuel means in Hebrew? God with us. Okay, so now think about this for a second. Why are we talking about God with us? Well, he is, but why? Because God is coming. All right, now, in Advent, it's the basis for the word adventure, isn't it? All right, now stop and think, what's an adventure? It's an exploration into something new. So, Advent is that same kind of thing. It's an exploration into something new, which is the coming of God with us. You know, you start looking at words, and many times the words themselves tell a story, but how often do we think about the meaning of that word? And you know how often I really think that's important. George Friedrich Handel started the Messiah. When we talk about the Messiah too, you know, how many of you have ever gone to a Messiah performance? All of you? None of you. Oh, it's really interesting. Because when he wrote this, okay, Handel was an interesting character. He was the court musician for the guy by the name of George of Saxony, who was the king. And this is when comic opera had taken the world by storm. So he asked for permission to go to Italy to learn about comic opera to bring it back. Now, good man, he didn't go back. He went to England, started comic opera, and then made a mint. He became a millionaire. Then the king of England died, and guess who they asked to be king? George of Saxony. George the First of England. And the first thing he did was called Handel in to talk to him. Wouldn't you love to be at that meeting to hear what was said? Anyway, it's these kind of things. But then as things change, as they always will, Handel lost all his money. He was a pauper. And they were going to open a new hospital in Dublin. And so the king was there. They wanted to have this huge celebration. And what they did in the celebration was they wanted to have new music. So they said, we want you to have music that will be good for this, and it's opening the week before Christmas. Would you write music for this? And Handel said, sure. So he went home and wrote all this music. Now, this is 2 weeks before the concert. 2 weeks before the concert. If you've ever been to the Messiah, it's about two and a half hours, isn't it? Maybe 3 hours. Folks, that's only half of it. There's an Easter section, too. And when they premiered that, they actually did both parts. It was a 5-hour concert. As part of my musical training when I was doing my doctorate, we looked at his source books for the Messiah. There is page after page after page of music with no corrections. Now stop and think about that. If you were a composer, you write this out and say, oh no, I want to do this. And in those days, they didn't have pencils, they had ink, so you had to cross it out and put it in, or put in measures and things like that. You can go hundreds of pages in the Messiah without a correction. The music flowed out of him. That's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Talking to him. How did he start it? Well, he started with a tenor aria called Comfort Ye My People. And here's one of the things talking about Bill Bowers. Next week's, the second Sunday in Advent's reading, is Comfort Ye My People, and every valley should be exalted and all the paths made straight out of Isaiah. Anyway, that's the opening recitative and aria from the Messiah. And my first year here, I did that as part of our church service. I was going to do it again. Bill was going to play the organ, and we were going to do that. And then Bill got sick again, so we'll just read it. But the first chorus after that aria is this. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, unto us a son is given. He used this to start the Messiah. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty of God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Why would you start the Messiah with the Old Testament? That's where he is. That's where he comes to us. Now, the other thing I want to point out to you, look at this. Go to the gospel lesson. This gospel lesson is used one other time for readings. Anybody know what it is? Palm Sunday. The triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Okay, so why, for the first Sunday in Advent, do we have this for a reading? What is it trying to tell us? The triumphal entry of Jesus, not into Jerusalem, into the world. Okay, the second coming. When you start looking at things that way, you see that deeper meaning, don't you? And, you know, it's just one of those things. I always, when I start seeing those kind of things and make those connections, the Bible comes alive for me. Okay, so let's talk about today. Today is the candle of hope. And you have to imagine, well, I mean, we got one candle burning up there, even though it's an electronic candle. Let's take it, that's our candle of hope. Okay, what does the word hope mean? Now, you know how much I really like words. Well, that's pretty good. Okay, according to Merriam-Webster, it's a desire accompanied by expectation or a belief in fulfillment. Okay, let me redo that again. An expectation of or a belief in fulfillment. And it's also an expectation of fulfillment or success. So hope means success. And someone or something on which hopes are centered and something desired or hoped for. I hate a dictionary that uses the word itself to define the word, because that doesn't tell you much, does it? You know, Webster's Dictionary does that all the time. Okay. But does it change the meaning if we look at it in the Bible? There's a Bible dictionary that talks about what words mean in the Bible, not just in the language. And in this, in Koine Greek, okay, the word is elpis. It's a feminine noun. I get a kick out of that. Hope is feminine. That means expectation, hope, trust, or confidence. The word is derived from the primary verb elpo, and that's not elpo, this is not dog food, which means to anticipate, and usually with pleasure. Anticipate with pleasure. And it is elpizo, which means to expect, to hope for. Now, I've told you this, that the word epistle means what? Hope. It also means letter. Because both of them come from the same base Greek word. All right, so we have epistle, elpis. Hear the connection in there? You can tell. All right, so also, epistle is the feminine noun, and it's from the word elpis, to hope and anticipate with pleasure, to expect and hope. And it's usually a message of hope. I got that out of the Bible dictionary. Huh? The substance of faith is hope. Okay. Where do we get faith? Think about this for a second. It's a gift of Holy Spirit. Well, if faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit, and hope is the substance of faith, where do we get hope? From the Holy Spirit. You know, when I start looking at words, as I said, the words will tell us what's there, don't they? Especially in the Bible. All right. Hope against hope. What in the heck does that mean? Okay, this is out of the Bible dictionary again. To hope without any basis for expecting fulfillment. Think about that. To hope without any basis for expecting fulfillment. Biblical hope is a confident expectation that God will fulfill his promises to us. Does he do that? Yes. So, when we start with that reading in Isaiah, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Now listen to this. The people who walked in darkness will see, have seen a great light. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance, which is what? Where in Revelation, where does the light in heaven come from? The throne of God. Okay? So God's light is going to shine upon us. Okay? Those people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, which is what in this case? Jesus Christ. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. For unto us a son, a child is born, unto us a son is given. and the government shall be upon his shoulder. What in the heck does that mean? That means he is King of Kings, Lord of Hosts. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David, sorry David, that's not you though, and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. What is that? That's as strong of a gospel statement as you're going to find any place. Where is it? In the Old Testament. I had a pastor one time when I was a kid tell me that the Old Testament is just law. Is that law? No. That's salvation right there. And it's important that we know this. So the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this for all y'all. You with me? Okay. Now, look at the psalm for today. Let us go to the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Does this mean literally what it says, or is it telling us something different? Something deeper. Where are our feet standing? On the holy ground in heaven. Okay. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. And their thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. All right. Advent is talking about what? Not only the coming of Jesus, we just saw that, the second coming of Jesus, to do what? In Greek, the word for Jesus in the second coming is pantocrator. Panto, all. Crater, judge. The judge of all. So when Jesus comes back, it's the judge, the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. There's the creed. We say it almost every other week, right? Where do you think that comes from? Old Testament. Because he's coming back. If we didn't believe he's coming back, would you be sitting here this morning? No. This is why Advent, when I first came here, I was told, we don't celebrate Advent in this church. And I said, no, we are going to celebrate Advent in this church. And there were quite a few arguments about that, weren't there? Because this is the most important thing besides the resurrection that we deal with all year round. And how many Sundays do we give to the second coming? Four. It's not a lot, is it? But it's so important. Okay. Their thrones for judgments were set, the thrones of the house of David. Okay, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. All right, Jerusalem. Jerusalem. What is Salem? Peace. The city of peace. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So with Hamas going after the Jews right now, they're going after the city of peace, aren't they? We're seeing biblical prophecy alive. May they be secure who love you. Could we lose our lives in the name of the Lord?
Absolutely.
But what happens? We go to heaven. Remember what was about 3 years ago when all of these people from Nineveh were killed, which is It's one of the ancient 10 cities in the Bible in Revelation. And right now I can't think of the name of it. Sorry. But anyway, they had all these guys. Remember, they lined up and they had people there with knives and they cut their heads off. Now, you got to remember that the Christianity of those people is not the same Christianity we have here. They believe the Son was adopted. He wasn't born divinely. What word was on their lips, though, when they died? Jesus. Do you think when they gave their lives for the name of the Lord, they didn't go to heaven? You know they went to heaven. Okay? Washed in the blood of the Lord. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of our house of our God, I will seek your good. When we read the Bible, do we put this kind of stuff together in context? If you do, I'm really impressed, because I have to study to learn this stuff, which is why you pay me to do this, okay, but to bring it up. But I think as we look at this stuff, when we take a look here, which is Old Testament, and we see the power of the Old Testament in our lives today. No. It's important. Thank you, Danny.
You're welcome, sir.
You mind if I do my sermon today, though? Okay, just check it. Okay. I know you do. That's right. Go down to Romans. Besides this, now we just got done talking the Old Testament. Think about this. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Besides this, take it in order. Yes, you know the time. The hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. Psalm, Romans, it's a continuous narrative. Do you see it? All right, one of the hymns for today is Sleepers Awake. And it's, if you ever know Bach, bam, 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 ba da da dee da da dee da ba da 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 da. And it's one of the most wonderful, beautiful pieces of music there is. And in German, Wache auf, ruft uns die Stimme. Sleepers awake. Wake up all. The hour has come. So the night is far gone. The day is at hand. What do we have during the day that's different from night? Light. What has the Isaiah thing talked about? The light of the Lord. So, the light is at hand. So then let's cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. The armor of the Lord, the armor of Jesus Christ. It's right there, isn't it? But how many of you put it together? Okay. Sorry, Gene. And to finish this up, let us walk properly as in the daytime. Not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. Those, if you ever go into Galatians 5, are living in the flesh. We don't live in the flesh. We live in the Spirit of God. So put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. In other words, be Christians. Love the Lord, do what is right. Sort of simple, isn't it? Thank you, David. You anticipated what I was going to say. Concept is simple. In practice, that's right. In practice, it's difficult. But again, how many times have I preached in here that perfection is not what we're trying to get? If you're at 51%, are you good or bad? You're good. But there's room for improvement, isn't there? So when we have hope, we have that room for improvement, don't we? Will we improve? Yes. Because according to hope, It's the expectation of success. So, may this hope of the Lord keep your hearts and minds on that goal of being in the light of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.